Before I get into the message, I want to apologize for the discrepancy in Sunday school class. Trust your pastor's memory. I'm somebody that can turn around and not even remember what I turned around for. So, okay, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 12. We live in a world today where there is a gospel being preached. Jesus loves you. Let him save you from your sins. Once your sins are taken away, they're gone. There's no need to worry. Is there anything wrong with that gospel? I think everything I said thus far is true. But when it's lived out, that it's a historical event and then it no longer matters, that's when that gospel becomes false. We cannot just say because we were once saved, we will always be saved. My message title this morning is, I Follow Jesus. And I need to give credits to the songwriter. The copy I have here actually doesn't have his name on it. Not an original title. Received a lot of inspiration from a song that the Jonestown school students sang in a program. I Follow Jesus. Turn with me to John 12. We're going to read from verse 20. Going to read to verse 42. John 12, verse 20 says, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servants be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spoke Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias said again, While he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with the heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things saith Esaias, when he came, when he saw him in his glory, and spoke of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Verse 43 yet, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So we have here, first of all, my first main point is the desire. We have these Grecians saying, we want to see Jesus. They came because of this compelling desire in their hearts to see Jesus. And they asked somebody, they asked Philip, they said, where can we see Jesus? And I really don't know why Philip didn't just take them to see Jesus. But he came and told Andrew. And this is one of the things, in my studies of Andrew, he's Peter's brother. Peter was the outspoken one. Andrew was the more steady. We don't know a lot about Andrew, but the few things we do know would lead me to believe that. He's like, well, let's take them to see Jesus. And so that's what they did. They went to see Jesus. This morning, everybody has a desire in their heart. And there is, that desire is placed there to drive us to the desire of seeing Jesus. But we know many will chase at length other roads to try to fill the desires of that heart. And it does not yield the satisfaction, the joy, the happiness that people are looking for. It is only as they allow that desire to drive them to a place of, I want to see Jesus. I want to really know who Jesus is. I've heard of him sometimes. Maybe it's what grandma said about him, or the couple of times that I was in church that I heard about him. For many of us, we've heard it Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. But I'm still going to raise the question, do you see Jesus? Because I think it's a question pertinent to our lives today. When you wake up in the morning, do you wake up with the desire to see Jesus? So the second point I have here is acting on the desire to see Jesus. These men, or this group, whoever it was, doesn't say they were men. They came to worship at the feast, and I believe part of the reason they came was their desire to see Jesus. They expected to find Jesus there. And when they got there and didn't see Jesus or recognize who he was, whatever the case is, they did something about it. They started digging a little further. They asked somebody, how can we see Jesus? And as we touched on before, it became a chain reaction. That person wound up asking another person, and then they went and found Jesus. So how can we see Jesus? And that's the burden of my heart. I can live life and be so occupied, maybe in good things, that I actually miss seeing Jesus in my daily grind of duty. And I also want to extend this out to those who have never known Jesus. You know, if you've never known Jesus, God gave you that desire to learn to know Jesus. He gave you that disquieting in your spirit because it can be fulfilled in Jesus. So I want to move on to the message of Jesus. When they found Jesus, he right away started preaching this message. And in some ways, it goes directly in contradiction to my introduction here, He starts right in and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Jesus starts right in on this message and says, as I follow this analogy that he gave, if you're going to live life for yourself, life is going to be lonely. You're not going to find the fulfillment that you want. You will be alone. And that is the state of so many people that are living in the world today with people all around them. They are dreadfully lonely. He goes on to say in the latter part of the verse that the cure to this and the path to a productive life is death. Where so many times the gospel's preached that Jesus is love, come to Jesus, and all your questions in life will be answered. Life will be so much better. Jesus started right in and said, but you must die. You must die. The only way you will recognize the fruitfulness, the productiveness of life, is to die. And that is the key today. Even today, yet, the key is to die. The dreams that I had, I must be willing to see crushed. The aspirations that I may have had for others, I must be willing to see fall on their face. I need to die. And Jesus goes on to say, when you do that, just like a corn of wheat, if you die as a seed and allow yourself to rot and germinate, you can bring forth a lot of fruit. Much more than came from yourself. And that is what happens when we die to self and give ourselves to Jesus. I know in many ways this is basic, but I think sometimes, I'll just say what I said again at the outstart, in the busyness of life, in the humdrum of life, we forget how basic Christianity is. Verse 25, he continues his thought, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." A person that is self-centered because they love their life, oftentimes by their actions drives others away from them. So many times they're not very pleasant to be around. In fact, they can be an emotional drain to be around, because the world is all about them. It's no bigger than them in their minds. That's what you hear when you when you're with them. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And so the very things they're trying to drum up around themselves by talking themselves up, they lose. Because it's going against them. It's working against them. But it goes on to say, he that hateth his life shall keep it unto life eternal. And the word hate, as we use it today in the English language, is pretty strong. I think, I should have looked it up, but my understanding is in this context, it would mean he that doesn't regard his life. He that doesn't put his life as as the most important. You know, when we don't make our decisions on what we do in light of what's going to be good for my life, but in light of what does Jesus want, that is what allows us to find the fulfillment. That is what allows us to find life eternal. And you know, when things are hard in this life, it doesn't mean it's because we're doing something wrong. Sometimes it is. Sometimes we bring our own hardness. Sometimes it is just God showing us that this, reminding us that this life here is not the ultimate. There's a life eternal. There's a life beyond that just goes so much further. And that is what we need to strive for. Verse 26 then, he says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And I was trying to slice in my mind what the difference is between serving Jesus and following Jesus. And I'm not going to say I'm right, but I used Matthew 25 as my conclusion, where Jesus says to some, you did this for me, blessed, enter into the kingdom. To others, he said, you did not do this for me, you're cursed, and go to everlasting darkness. In that group of people that he sent to everlasting darkness, they asked the question, when did we have the opportunity and didn't do it? I get the picture that maybe this was a group that did do some humanitarian aid. Maybe they did get on a plane and fly to some other country to help in a, whatever, flood cleanup. Maybe they did do some of this. But as Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, if you're doing it for recognition of men, you already have your reward. So maybe they were serving, thinking they were doing this for Jesus. Maybe even they're taking weekends or maybe even some evenings each week for some kind of mission work. Serving Jesus, but not following him. I want us to try to get a grasp on that. I brought this little crude illustration along. And I'm gonna work at this just a little bit as we continue on some of these points here. Verse 26 talks about those that are with Jesus, those that are serving him. I have all these little Lego work people here. Sorry, I'm breaking them up, it looks like. They're busy. They're doing things. And that is the way we find ourselves in the world so often. Even people of the world can find themselves very busy doing things. I'm going to ask the children, to tell me things they notice about these little Lego characters. What do you notice about them? I don't know. Can everybody see it? If you're a child and need to come up closer to see it, you may. What do you see in these Lego people? I already said, okay, did somebody have something they want to say? Go ahead.
They each have hats on.
They each have hats on. What kind of hats? The hats are work hats. They're working, right? Most of these are characters that are working. What else do you see? This probably doesn't stand out. Adults, what are your observations?
Am I right in saying that it looks like they all have uniforms to coordinate with their job?
Yeah. And with that thought, I actually placed them all the same direction. And facing the same direction. Is that typical of life? I think many times what we see is each one kind of doing their own thing. You know, maybe they even work for the same employer, but facing life different ways. I'm another individual here, and I kind of hesitate to impersonate Jesus, but Isaiah tells us he did have no form nor comeliness, that there wasn't a special character to represent him. So these people are about their work right now. Would we say they're serving? They're serving, and if this was their boss, I'm sure they're doing what their boss wants because he's watching right now. Are they following him? That real test is going to come when the boss is gone. That's going to be the real test. Are they really following what their boss wants? Or are they just seeking his blessing while he's there watching? Okay, I want to continue through here. Still talking about the message of Jesus. Verse 27. He says, dying to life. Actually, he's just testifying of himself here, and I just kind of drew some of these conclusions. He says, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into this hour. And as I look at that, by his life, he shows us that dying to life can bring anguish. It requires denial of self. It requires submission to God. And so I'm coming back to the point of the title, I Follow Jesus. If we're going to follow Jesus, we need to all be turned toward him. The disciples could not follow Jesus and be running helter-skelter. They had to all be turned toward him. They had to all be taking steps the same direction he took his steps. He actually does not have... Jesus is not looking this way. He's leading. And we need to follow him. While his love looks our way, he's out there leading. But it can cost a lot in this life to have that commitment to follow Jesus. Verse 28, Jesus says, Father, glorify thy name. So the next part of the message of Jesus is that God is going to glorify his name through whatever we are led through by following Jesus. You can look at people that faced very severe accidents in life. or the Christians that are still facing persecution. And humanly speaking, we ask the question, why? Why would God allow things like this? But God says here that he is going to glorify his name through those that follow him. And verse 29 onward, we have this discussion. Actually, it gets deeper as we get into the last several verses, verses 33 and onward. They're saying, how can these things be? They look at Jesus' testimony that he's going to die. And they're raising the question, how can, we thought this was the Messiah, how can the Messiah die? Because verse 34, they said, the law tells us that Christ abides forever. And so there's things we don't understand. How can the things that I am experiencing glorify God? Many times we don't understand that. We don't get it. Sometimes people try just to explain things as natural causes, that it's not part of God's plan. Verse 29, when the voice from heaven spoke, some of the people said it thundered. They try to explain it as natural causes. Are you following Jesus or not? Did the things that happened in your life transpire because you're following Jesus? Verse 28, the voice said, I have glorified your name and I will glorify it again. It brings out to me the fact that glorifying God is a continuous process. Now, sometimes it will be through the lows, sometimes it will be through the high points. But it's a continuous process, one we need to follow each day of our lives. I follow Jesus. The next main point I have here is many will not understand. And I'm just going to read verses 33 to 34 again, just to capture again this little discourse. Actually, I'm going to start with 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This said he, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? I'm going to keep reading. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness, knowing not whither he goeth. And he goes on to say, just pursue that light. But it says that many went away. Some believing, some not believing. Many will understand it. To walk with Jesus, to follow Jesus, does not make earthly sense. If we're trying to reason with people and say, you want to follow Jesus because this is the better way, it's not going to make earthly sense. It doesn't. But when we look at things from the light of the kingdom of heaven, it makes all the difference. Now it's all about a purpose that's bigger than me. It's about God's cause. He has a kingdom. He's a king. He's leading forth. And as we look at scenes in the Bible, Jesus is at the forefront so much of that. Jesus or the Spirit, some form of the Godhead. And the people on earth can look at your choice to say, I'm going to give all my desires, all my longings, all my decision capacities, I'm giving them to Jesus. Jesus has just gotten done saying this, Son of God would be killed on a cross. How does that make sense? But we can look back on it and know it was true. And we can look back on it and see that it was a very important part in the kingdom of heaven. We can look back on it and realize that without that, we wouldn't be here with our sins forgiven this morning. But it did not make sense. The people were looking at it and saying, how can this be? Next point, some will oppose it. And this was to the degree that it says Jesus gave his message and then he left and hid himself from them. Why? Because there were people that were seeking his life. And like he told his apostles at times, his disciples, they were at that time, my time has not yet come. Your time is always ready, but my time has not yet come. So some will oppose it. You choose to follow Jesus, there will be people that stand in the way. It happens. There are people that try to interfere. For whatever reason, or maybe just because it doesn't make sense to them, there will be people that will do their best to get between you and Jesus. And they're going to have slogans like this: don't be so radical. Just serve him. But we have to make the choice. Do I follow Jesus? Will I follow Jesus? Next point I have here is cling to the light. Comes from verse 36. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be children of the light. Cling to the light. It is the light. Just imagine with me for a little bit that I was in a dark section of some city. And if you all of a sudden shone the light, you would see your surroundings. What would you see? You know, if it was dark back alley, you would see a lot of things that were disgusting. Things that just wrench at your heart. Because the light shows you the difference between right and wrong. The light shows you that there's a way of suffering. And that the right way may be a way of suffering, but it's also the way of hope. As we have the light, we can see this. The light reveals the tragedies of the easy road, but also the blessings of the harder heavenly path. That's the light. So what happens when we take the light away? If we turn the light off, then darkness sets in. You know, the only option other than light is darkness. So we can have the light that illumines the things that are happening and that show us what the right choices are. Or we can have darkness where it's confusion and chaos and not even knowing what's ahead. Cling to the light. Ultimately, in the last number of verses, and my point here is the choice is yours. Let's just make this personal this morning. The last number of verses, some believe not on him, even after he had done so many miracles. They were blinded, hardened their hearts. And verse 42 has this summary: nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And Just going to complete this illustration here. So there were some that turned to Jesus, that turned toward Jesus. And yet, they did not follow him because there were others in the way. They wanted their praise more than they wanted the praise of God. So I raise the question this morning as I search my life. Am I following Jesus? Or am I going with the tides of those whom I respect? The decisions that I make, do I make because this is what my Jesus did? This is what my Jesus said? Or do I do it because it's popular opinion amongst those whom I've chosen to associate with? This is a question that I need to face today. And I think it's a question not too far from all of us. What really does, and it was brought out in the devotions, I really appreciated that. What really is driving my life? What is motivating my heart? What is making me choose to do the things that I choose to do? I come back to this question, is it because I choose to follow Jesus? I'm just going to read the lyrics to the song yet. The Jesus way. If you curse me, then I will bless you. If you hurt me, I will forgive. And if you hate me, then I will love you. I choose the Jesus way. If you're helpless, I will defend you. And if you're burdened, I'll share the weight. And if you're hopeless, then let me show you there's hope in the Jesus way. I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. He wore my sin. I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. If you strike me, I will embrace you. If you chain me, I'll sing his praise. And if you kill me, my home is in heaven. For I choose the Jesus way. I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. He wore my sin. I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. And I choose surrender. I choose to love. Oh God, my Savior, you'll always be enough. I choose forgiveness. I choose grace. I choose to worship no matter what I face. I choose the Jesus way. I choose the Jesus way. I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. He wore my sin. I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. He wore my sin. I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. And I trust that is a testimony of each of us here. And if not, it's an invitation. There is hope in the Jesus way. And that's my desire for each of us, that somehow we find that, the hope that's in the Jesus way, that is our experience from day to day. With these thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.